an extraordinary day at the Convention Centre for lots of reasons. History being made as Dáil Éireann moves to the north side for a day at least. And also, of course, much more importantly, we have a new government, Micheál Martin, becoming the 15th Taoiseach. Owen Harris is going to join us to review some of the speeches from this afternoon, particularly, of course, from the new Taoiseach, Micheál Martin. Before that, though, let's hear from some of the other party leaders, Eamon Ryan, Leo Varadkar, and first up, the Leader of the Opposition and Sinn Féin, Mary Lou MacDonald.
So today's marriage of convenience is born of necessity, not ambition. To buy time, to keep others out, to keep others in their place. For the political establishment, it's their way or no way. Well, I have to tell them that you will no longer get it all your own way, and that day is over. The inescapable truth is that the future belongs to those of us who believe in change. The measure and mettle of the Irish people is reflected in how they have handled the COVID-19 pandemic. The daily acts of kindness, the spirit of community, the commitment to the belief that none of us are safe unless all of us are safe. And the COVID crisis hasn't dampened the desire for change. If anything, it's strengthened it. People have had time to reflect on their lives, to reflect on the things that really matter. And many of them now realise that the price of having Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael together in government is too high.
The three parties combined won more than 51% of the vote in the general election in February. Some people may think that 24.5% is a majority. Some people may think 3% or 1% is a majority. It's not. A majority is more than 50%, and these three parties have that majority, won it in the last election, and have a very strong mandate to govern and to serve over the next 5 years. One last point, Ciarán Corla. I know through the course of this debate over the next few hours, we're going to hear a lot of rhetoric and spin about change, as though the press officers and the spin doctors said, say change as many times as you can in your speech. Keep saying change when you do that video for social media. We all know what change means for Sinn Féin. For Sinn Féin, change means Sinn Féin ministers in ministerial offices and Sinn Féin ministers in the back seat of ministerial cars. They're willing to get into power with Fianna Fáil. They're willing to get into power with Fine Gael. They're probably willing to get into power with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. That's what change means to Sinn Féin. But of course, when the Green Party do that, it's a betrayal. What a load of spin and nonsense.
We can in these difficult times be an island that tries to show a bit of integrity. Listen, we're not perfect. We all know it, but we're not the worst country in the world, and it's our duty to try and stand up and be as best we can in the political system for our people, and also maybe just to provide a light in the world in these dark and difficult times. That sounds a bit big, a bit bold, a bit ambitious, but why not on this day, as we try to form a government, set ourselves a big task? I'd like to thank the two parties who've negotiated with us. They did it in a fair and honest way. We look forward to working them as best we can. Look forward to working with the opposition. We don't believe in politics of division. Well, we'll start by cooperating in every way we can, being as open as we can in government, trying to answer every question in as truthful a way as possible, engaging the opposition. Let's use our committee. Ciarán Corla, I think the outgoing Dáil showed a lot of real strengths in how it actually, even though it was a minority, it was really difficult to govern, but we should keep some of the good things in that time, some of the collaboration we saw in those committees, the likes we saw in Sláinte Care Committee and the Climate Commission, and I could go on. Let's keep up that work for our people, collectively together. Gur Magath.
Owen Harris of the Sunday Independent. Did Eamon Ryan capture the spirit of the day better than anyone else, do you think, with that speech?
I think so. I think he has something in common with Micheál Martin, which is a kind of personal decency. Now, that word is not personalised enough, but in Ireland, I think personal decency, a decent man, is someone who doesn't put faction, who doesn't put ideology before civility and humanity. And they both have that personal trait that you know you're not going to get a fanatic gaze as you get back from other parties. That in the crunch, they're going to put their country and they're going to put decency and common sense first. So it was a great day for him because it was a day in which his party had told the Nordy, Shinnerised Greens to get stuffed. And that was a great victory for him. So it was a great day for Eamon Ryan.
What other speeches throughout the day? Because obviously it's a big set piece event. And even though it felt slightly unusual because it was in a different setting, this huge auditorium, it was still, those kind of speeches are very much a part of the day when the Taoiseach gets elected. What other speeches caught your imagination today or grabbed your attention?
Well, as you say, it was kind of a strange situation. In fact, it was kind of surreal because of the long COVID lockdown. Some of the males, for example, had a kind of a 70s afro look about them, you know.
<They did. laughs>
And I thought it was kind of like, I'm old now. I thought it was back like in the Dáil of the 1970s.
My wife said exactly the same
did
thing
she?
To me. She said it's like watching the Sweeney or something.
Exactly, the Sweeney, exactly. John Taw and the hair. So there was the surreal thing. And also, the sense of distancing, of course, also is very stressful because when you're, you know, I remember from the Shannon, when you have a group of people around you on your side, you kind of, and they're close to you physically, you feel kind of stronger. And they had to make their speeches in a kind of an isolate, a sense of isolation around them, which is not easy. And some of them rose to it really well. Like Norma Foley, Fianna Fáil, I thought made a fine speech in proposing Micheál Martin. She went through his quite extraordinarily good CV because he did something solid in every ministry. But there's no denying that Sinn Féin had a very bad day. You know, visually, Ona Brin looked like he was wearing a tracksuit. Pierce Doherty's Irish is incomprehensible to me, and I can listen to Donegal Irish, but he won't even bother to pronounce the word Taoiseach properly. He says Taoiseach. Like, it reminds me of the American ambassador in the war, David Gray, who hated De Valera and referred to him all the time as a Taoiseach, as if he was a tea stall. But that was only symbolic of their general grumpy, bad mood. They are, to put it simply, they're fit to be tied. They like to sell this notion that they want to be in opposition, but of course they don't. After the election, they never stopped trying to get into government. And they're very angry, and their faces looked angry, and they didn't speak well. But if Doherty can't pronounce Taoiseach properly, what was far worse was Mary Lou's waffle about change, which, of course, Sinn Féin repeat like a meditation mantra. You know, this is the change, we want change, the change we choose, the choice we change, or the change we've changed. It's actually hypnotic. Now, I took it apart in the Sunday Independent last Sunday, and I think Leo Radcliffe, who reads everything, must have read my bit about when I shook up the whole mantra of change, shook it hard to see what was in it, and nothing fell out, there was nothing in it. It's just a mindless mantra. Because Varadkar caught them on the hop brilliantly. He said, what does change mean? And he said, what it means is Sinn Féin in ministerial mercs, in ministerial seats and in their mercs. He said, that's all it meant. Because in practical terms, he didn't say this, but he should have pointed out that Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and the Greens have stolen all of Sinn Féin's political clothes. Housing, climate change, health. They're going to do that as comprehensively as Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin are left with very, very scant pickings. And it's showing in their faces because they know it. And Varadkar did very well in a short, succinct speech. It was a very succinct speech, put them on the spot. The only downside of Varadkar's speech, I thought, was that he was a bit graceless in not saying something personal to Micheál Martin, to wishing him well at a personal level. But that's Varadkar, you know, like that's the kind of personality he has. There's the kind of, again, the touch of the lack of empathy about personal things. I thought Catherine Ryan made a very fine speech. I thought significantly Alan Kelly made a very robust speech and really marked out ground as the leader of the Labour Party. I don't think Sinn Féin are going to have it all their own way in opposition with Alan Kelly around. I thought the only speaker who really caught the historic nature of the day was Michael Lowry. Now, Michael Lowry, people say all sorts of bad things about him, and I've said some of them in my time. But he's been around a long time. He's a lot of experience, and he's a thoughtful person. And he really measured the fact that he had seen almost everything in his political lifetime, every extraordinary thing. I mean, he saw the whole, you know, the armed struggle, the high period, the recessions. He'd seen everything, but he said he'd never seen anything like this. The alliance between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael is something special, something historic, something a bit shocking. And he caught that sort of sense of shock. After that, then we come to Micheál Martin's speech.
Yeah. Well, before we talk about it, let's get a flavour of some of the things he had to say.
I was blessed to be born into the home which my late parents created, for me and my brothers and sisters in the heart of the close-knit working-class community which I have the enormous privilege of representing in Dáil Éireann. Every day my parents showed us the importance of supporting each other, of tough but fair competition, and of the spirit of community. From my late father we learned not just of the great sporting achievements he saw, we learned of the characters and values of the heroes who were and remain immortal to us. We learned the importance of persistence, of optimism, and of always understanding that Cork will soon win another double. Most of all, we learned of the struggles of our country's great founding generation and their republicanism. A republicanism which always sought to evolve and to respond to the needs of today and the future. They were warm, generous, visionary, and brave, not just physically, but far more importantly, in their willingness to question themselves and embrace change. It is this republicanism, a tradition which does not wear and never has worn a party label, to which we all owe so much. It is the reason that Dáil Éireann is the only parliament established in the aftermath of the First World War, which has been democratic for the entire century since. This week, 100 years ago, the First Dáil was also obliged to leave its normal chamber in order to be able to meet in full session. The minutes of that meeting show that in the face of dramatic events and repression, they continued their work of building Irish democracy. They voted to establish independent courts. They reviewed and questioned the work of every department. They looked at ways of funding housing in Dublin. They set themselves the challenge of not just talking about the problems of our country, but of developing solutions. Our country has shown time and time again that we can overcome the toughest of challenges, and we will do so again. It is in the spirit of a deep belief in the role of democratic government, with a commitment to delivering the recovery and renewal embodied in our programme, and the determination to work tirelessly to serve the people, that I proudly accept your nomination. Gurmila Mahagwiv Galera.
Owen, a couple of things jump out from that excerpt we played there. One was how emotional he was, which is understandable. He has been through a lot on a personal level and a political level over the last 10 years. There was also that use of the republicanism, that word, kind of claiming the word and saying, look, that's not associated with any one party. Definitely a shot across the bows of Sinn Féin.
Yeah, well, the first thing I want to say about him was that he looked at least 10 years younger. And as you say, that was because I think he'd been through a terrible time. He's had a harrowing few months with most of the media nagging him to do a deal with Sinn Féin. And then when he wouldn't do that, nagging for a second election. And the clue to why so many in the media give him a hard time can be found in his introductory mention of two mentors in Irish. A pity in many ways he didn't deal with in English, Sean Lamass and Jack Lynch. Mm. And both of these men reached out to unionists, and particularly Lynch got a hard time from the media, from critics, because he was allegedly and depicted as being weak, because he wasn't nationalist enough, wasn't blustering enough, wasn't bashing the Brits enough, wasn't bashing the unions enough. And that element, Lynch was never forgiven for not being a hawk on Northern Ireland. And Martin picked up some of the same hostility from the same sneaking regarders, because like most countries, the media, most of the media have a love affair with the left. In Ireland, they have a love affair with a party which has justified terrorism and murder. And I can't understand it, but then maybe I'm getting old. I cannot understand how anybody who, when they hear Mary Lou MacDonald justifying the armed struggle, in which basically the Provo IRA killed 1,771 people over what, like not being on the right housing list or voting electoral discrimination. There was no justification for it. Seamus Mallon said there was no justification. And Micheál Martin cannot see why morally he should put them into government. And for some reason, the media, the younger generation of media, can't seem to grasp that simple fact. So that's why he was citing Lynch, because I think he knew that Lynch was getting the same hammering as him. You see, the fact of life is that if Martin hadn't stood up to Sinn Féin with stoic courage in the last few months, they'd be in government one way or the other. Not only did he stand up to Sinn Féin, he had to stand up to members of his own party. He had to stand up to the media. He had to stand up against basically a kind of a consensus that he should go into government with Sinn Féin. And when he wouldn't do it, he was punished in every way possible, and every pressure was put on then to kind of big up Sinn Féin and, you know, big up the kind of how awful things were in the Greens, and that he was finished and doomed. Now, he beat all of these odds. No wonder he was emotional. And so that what he did was he showed Sinn Féin that he wasn't for turning. And he showed him what I would say an extraordinary piece of senior hurling. It took a Jack Lynch, his great mentor, was very, you know, gentleman, gently spoken, but he had enormous grit and toughness on the hurling field. And politically, he was very tough. And Jack Lynch and Martin have a lot in common there, because both of them, like, were soft-spoken, but both of them, if necessary, could be very, very steely indeed. And at the end of the day, it's been an enormous triumph for Martin. He has gained authority both as leader of Fianna Fáil and as Taoiseach. Within Fianna Fáil, his personal authority is very strong, with 74 endorsement from Fianna Fáil members. And outside Fianna Fáil, in the country, in the Dáil, in politics, he was endorsed by 93-63, which knocked the stuffing out of the Provo conspiracy theory spin. You know, that kind of, they were on the edge of it, and that, you know, it was all, this was marginal, really. And as a bonus, he got 9 independent votes, which he didn't even seek. He got them out on his own merits. I don't know, maybe now some of the media critics will examine their conscience and ask themselves why they love Mary Lou MacDonald, who supports the IRA still and justifies the IRA, who killed 1,771 people. My friend Tom Carew has just emailed me a study which suggests that Martin's two smoking bans, which were world first, could have saved over 6,500 lives, which means, as Tom says, that Martin has probably saved 4 lives for everyone taken by the provisional IRA. That is why I was kind of sickened watching. He had to listen to sickening lectures from Sinn Féin while a Muppet media nodded agreement. He was, in spite of sustained pressure, as I said, from the media, from his party, from factions in his party, and from pretty much everyone in the country, Micheál Martin steadfastly refused to let Sinn Féin into government on the moral grounds that they were still justifying the IRA campaign. And they've lost, Sinn Féin lost, despite the support of most of the media, despite all the pressure that from everybody, the great and the good all round, Sinn Féin failed to force Martin to put them into government. And their angry faces say that far from wanting to be in opposition, they hate it. And that's because they can guess the future. You see, they suspect, like me, that this government is going to work. I believe it's going to work. They suspect they'll be left to wither on the vine. They know that Micheál Martin beat them and all the hacks who supported them. As I said, look, Shane, they ran into a senior hurler.
Okay. Just before you go, they ran into a senior hurler, but the senior hurler, even the best senior hurlers, when they're playing against a gale force wind, can find it difficult. Like the environment the government is coming into with COVID, with the economy on the rocks because of COVID, through nobody's fault, but because of COVID, there's big challenges there. What did this government do? What do they need to do in order to succeed, in order to ensure that in 4 years' time or in 5 years' time, they can see off Sinn Féin again at the ballot box?
You know, cometh the hour, cometh the man. What we need precisely at the moment is what Micheál Martin has. traits of his that I'm not particularly, that I don't particularly admire, because I like politicians who have a sense of drama and PR and maybe spin. Marlon's one of these things. He's a policy wonk in the best sense of the word. He, like Bertie Ahern has a fantastic appetite for reading documents. Martin is a ferocious worker. The kind of person we need now is somebody who is not looking for, who's not going to posture or PR or look for spin, but someone who's going to put the head down and, like Churchill, is going to kind of, you know, go through blood, sweat and tears and get the paperwork right, get the details right, and be able to take the hammering that he's going to get. He has the stoicism to take that hammering. We don't need a prima donna Taoiseach at the moment. We just need a kind of a steely Taoiseach who can take the punishment and just, you know, take us through it.
Owen Harris of the Sunday Independent, thank you indeed for talking to us. You can read Owen's views on this historic election of a new government in the Sunday Independent tomorrow. Owen, thanks indeed
thank
for talking to us.
Thank you very much.